Hey sis, you are not crazy, lazy, or ungrateful. You are just overloaded. You know something is off, but trying to figure out what it is feels like something else that you just don't have the capacity for. And that's why I created the Spiritual Wellness Check-In. This is not a quiz with cute personality anecdotes, but this is a clinically informed screening tool that helps you identify what kind of support you need right now without any of the guesswork. In under 3 minutes, you'll know whether you need to refocus, reconnect, or recover, and you'll get access to the tool to help you get started. Head on over to rxforpurpose.com/check-in. That's rxforpurpose.com/check-in, or click the link in the show notes to get started today. You don't need more suggestions. What you need is strategic support, and the Spiritual Wellness Check-In will help you with just that. You are now listening to the Prescription for Purpose podcast, the go-to destination for women who are tired of feeling burnt out and stuck in the exhausting cycle of doing but not thriving. Each week, we'll provide you with Christ-centered mental wellness prescriptions to help you reclaim your peace, renew your purpose, and live life spiritually well. And if you're a therapist or a coach, the tools and insights that we curate here will help you make a Christ-centered impact on your clients today. Are you ready, sis? Let's get started. Hey, friend, and welcome back to another episode of the Prescription for Purpose podcast. In this week's episode, we are going to be talking about something that I am really passionate about, and that is how to discern what is a habit, what is trauma, and what is spiritual warfare. Really, because it's important to know what needs to be healed, what needs to be retrained, and what needs to be broken off of your life so you can live well. Now, before we get started, a couple of church announcements. Make sure that you take our Spiritual Wellness Check-In, get those free resources, and make sure that you also join us over in the Purpose Collective, which is our new free community with all things from the podcast, notes. I'm thinking about starting devotionals every week, depending on whether or not we get enough interest. And so make sure that if you're looking for just a free community for you to be a part of where we can talk about all things mental health and faith, that you pull up on me, okay? Now, let's hop right into today's episode. A lot of us have found ourselves in a space where you might feel stuck. You might feel exhausted. You might feel like you have thrown everything that you got at just trying to find stability in your life. And you find yourself at this point of exhaustion because you're fighting the wrong thing with the wrong weapon. So you may have gone to therapy, you've been praying, you've fasted, you've journaled, you've set boundaries, and somehow you still find yourself feeling stuck, confused, and oppressed, and you're running the same cycle over and over. And then you get to a point where you're asking, like, what am I missing? What am I missing? If you have been at that place, if that resonates with you, then this episode is for you, sis. Okay. Make sure that you stay locked in, because when we don't know the difference between trauma, habit, and spiritual warfare, you end up mishandling all three. They're all very interconnected. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that. But a lot of times the caveat, especially as someone who is in this space where we're integrating biblical wisdom, understanding and appreciating the spiritual, and really understanding and knowing and standing on the fact that the evidence of God's word is superior to any evidence-based practice, and also still understanding the validity, understanding the value of evidence-based practice. As someone who stands in the middle of that, what I find is that there are times where we over-spiritualize something that needs to be healed, something that is a practical thing. We are out here over-spiritualizing and making everything about the devil, and it's really your decisions. And then on the medical side, we want to apply pathologies to things that are only broken off through prayer and fasting. And so we have to deal with that tension of both. When you under-discern the link between what happened to us, how we've learned how to survive, and how the enemy keeps us bound, you are going to find yourself in this holding pattern. You're going to find yourself exhausted. You're going to find yourself feeling like, oh, God didn't answer my prayer, when really what you're going for, what you're going after or dealing with requires like some practical help, some therapy, requires for you to understand and look at how you've been dealing with things and the patterns that you have in your life. And so today, we're not going to just identify the difference between trauma, habit, and warfare, but I really want to show you how they work together and how to break free of all of these things in the name of Jesus. Okay? Amen. Amen. So first, I want to make sure that you have a clear definition of what is trauma, what is habit, and what is spiritual warfare. And so we're going to deep dive into this a little bit, okay? First, I want you to know that trauma is a wound. Trauma is a wound. For some people, they say there's capital T trauma and lowercase t trauma. I had a good friend of mine tell me that trauma isn't just things that happen to you. Trauma can also be things that you needed to happen that never did. And so when we look at trauma, there's a soul level impact. We're body, soul, and spirit. So there's a soul level impact in that moment, whether it may be a traumatic event, a season of trauma, a relationship, parental relationships, whatever the case might be, it made you question whether you were safe, whether you were seen, or whether you were worthy of love. And trauma oftentimes lives in your body, and it hijacks your perception of reality. It distorts your identity, and it creates gaps where you're supposed to have roots being grown. Trauma is very impactful. It's very important to be trauma-informed, even trauma-informed of your own trauma and understanding how it impacts you. Because once you have experienced trauma, oftentimes this is what happens where your habits are influenced by trauma. A lot of us have trauma-informed habits because the habit or the patterns of behavior are your coping mechanisms. It's repeated. Habits are a repeated pattern that you've created in your brain to help keep you functioning. And your brain's job is to keep you safe or have the perception of safety, whether or not the habit is actually healthy. So habits may look mature. They may look spiritual. They may even look successful, but they're still a part of our flesh if we have not surrendered our habits to God, and can still be exploited. And then we have spiritual warfare, which is the exploitation. So trauma is the wound, the habit is the coping mechanism, and spiritual warfare is where exploitation happens. And it's where the enemy really handles you and deals with your unhealed trauma and also exploits the unhealthy habits. Those habits that haven't been retrained and submitted to God. He builds strongholds in trauma. He partners with your habits to twist your identity. He doesn't allow you to operate in a new identity. He really wants to keep you bound. And we have to understand that the devil doesn't show up with a pitchfork. He shows up as agreement. Very subtle. Shows up as logic. Shows up as survival. The enemy does not always attack you directly. What he does oftentimes is he studies you and then he uses or exploits what you've accepted as normal to keep you from walking in freedom. Some of us have learned that dysfunction is normal. Peace stresses you out, and the enemy will exploit that. And so I really want us to look at what spiritual warfare and trauma look like on a day-to-day, and even with your habits. I want to get very granular with these things because we throw around different phrases like spiritual warfare and trauma, and we don't really provide a lot of information on, okay, what does that look like in my day-to-day? So when we talk about trauma, and we're going to look at all three of these from a mental, emotional, and spiritual standpoint, when we talk about trauma, trauma is the wound. Okay, so mentally, you're very hypervigilant. You are constantly anticipating what could go wrong. Or you may dissociate, meaning that you zone out when your emotions are too much. Okay, you just like, I'm out, checked out. And I don't mean like you have inattentive type ADHD. Like, girl, you gone. And then you may even have flashbacks that are super emotional and make you feel like you're back there. All of these things are results of trauma from a mental health standpoint. Emotionally, trauma can cause you to have sudden rage, shame, and even shut down in low-stakes situations. So the way that you respond because you've been triggered, it seems extreme for the circumstance, but it's really a trauma response. You may feel unworthy, unsafe, or invisible, even in relationships that are completely healthy. You may participate in some extreme people pleasing, or you have a extreme need for control because you're trying to prevent rejection. You're struggling to trust God because you confuse his correction with human abuse. You're feeling abandoned by God when he is just, there's a season of silence, or you are having to wait. You take that as abandonment because of wounds that you've had in human relationships. And then you have difficulty receiving love from God without feeling like you have to perform in order to get it. All of those things are traumatic responses. When we look at habits or behavior, the pattern, different patterns that you'll see are things like negative self-talk that's on a loop. This always happens to me. I can't help it. You giving an automatic yes before thinking. You doing something called all or nothing thinking. There's no gray. It's just black or white. Emotionally, you may find yourself scrolling constantly to zone out, doom scrolling. Emotionally eating. Cleaning everything. Overworking. Getting defensive every time that there is a moment where you need to be vulnerable or you feel vulnerable. You react out of routine instead of you being present in the moment. You're going through the motions, but you stay emotionally disengaged. You avoid intimacy with God because you don't know what to say if you aren't on, if you aren't performing. And then you repeat patterns like procrastinating instead of being obedient. Are you ghosting God altogether? And these are behavioral impacts that come from trauma. And then we have spiritual warfare when it's being leveraged, that exploitation. In your mind, you have these constant, intrusive, accusatory thoughts. They may sound like you, but you know that they're not from God. Because the devil will lie to you in your own voice. You're constantly confused, distracted, or you have some kind of like brain fog when it's time to study, when it's time to obey, when it's time to make decisions. And there's a lot of internal narratives that resist the truth of God, even though you know better. You're like, I'm in the word. I'm in church. I'm listening to 2819. Okay, shout out to them. I'm listening to the Way Church of Tampa Bay. Like I'm doing the things and I know cognitively I understand. And yet I still have this internal narrative. You are feeling a sense of heaviness or dread. Anytime you're being pushed into spiritual growth, anytime there is supposed to be breakthrough, even in a relationship, there's this heaviness that overcomes you. There's shame. After you've repented, you still feel a sense of shame. Or you feel fear and despair during worship. That is not of God. That's spiritual warfare. And then, of course, when there is resistance to worship, when there's resistance to prayer, when there's resistance to getting in your word, and this is more than like, oh, I'm tired, so I'm staying home from church. That's not spiritual warfare, okay? Your girl took a day last Sunday. This is like, no, I can't get in the word. And every time I try to, it just, I can't. If you have backlash, so something happens, you go to church, you have an experience, you get delivered, you feel healed in an area, and then there's backlash, that is spiritual warfare. Isolation from community or leadership because there is offense or fear or sabotage. And then when you are declaring the word of God, it feels like it is hitting a wall instead of really reshaping and renewing your mind. that is what spiritual warfare looks like. And I hope you can see the connection, right? So if trauma is the wound, right? We got to get medical, child. If trauma is the wound and the habit is the coping mechanism, then spiritual warfare is telling you, like, hey, girl, don't get free. It looks like I have a wound. The habit is the medication that I'm putting on it. Okay, you trying to put Neosporin on it, but there's bacteria. There's a bacterial infection, and you need antibiotics. Spiritual warfare is the bacterial infection that's going to prevent wound healing. That's what that looks like. And so we see this all throughout the Word. Y'all know I love some good case studies, child. First, Saul. And he back to back. We spinning the block on Saul. In 1 Samuel 16 and 14, it talks about how now the spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. So we know that Saul was disobedient to the Lord. He rebelled against God. He did not obey the Lord. He did not repent. And we see that Saul still had the crown, but no longer had God's covering. He was still in position, but no longer had access to power. And it wasn't that he was emotionally unstable. He wasn't emotionally unstable. He was spiritually exposed. And his torment was not caused from trauma. His torment was from disobedience. And so this was a spiritual problem. But then if you look at the crippled woman that Jesus healed in Luke 13, I'm going to paraphrase this. She's been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." So with this woman, her physical symptoms, the root of it was not a physical issue. It was a spiritual issue. Jesus healed her from the spirit of infirmity, and it shaped how she carried herself. But when he healed her, he didn't just remove the pain. He didn't say, okay, I'm going to have every cell in your body line up in accordance to God's word. That's something I always pray, right? He didn't just remove the symptoms. He cast out the spirit. And so for some of us, we have to understand that the mental and emotional and spiritual are all part of us as a being. And this discernment is so important, because I was even telling a coworker of mine last night, she's been having a lot of weird symptoms. Her hair's been falling out. She's getting hives, like her face and mouth swelling. And I told her last night, she confided some things in me. And I told her, like, girl, stress. Like, your body is literally stressed out. And it's nothing to do. So she's going to all the doctors and seeing rheumatology, and she's doing all the things. But when we really got to the bottom of it, there are mental and emotional, and even there's some spiritual aspect there that we have to deal with so you can really be healed. And she was like, you know what? You're right. I know. Because it's deeper than what's happening on the surface. And that's exactly what we see with Jesus when he heals the crippled woman. A lot of us are trying to put Band-Aids on symptoms, but this is why it's so important to know the root. And then we also see in 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 5, where it talks about the weapons of our warfare not being of the flesh, but of divine power to destroy strongholds. And the scripture isn't about casting out demons. So this is where we are responsible to do some of the work, right? That we have to take every thought captive, every speculation, everything that tries to get ahead of God, and we make it submit to the word of Christ. This is not about casting out demons. It's about dismantling arguments, dismantling thought patterns, dismantling false identities that try to exalt themselves over God's truth. So that's not spiritual warfare. That is you having to deal with the trauma. That's you having to deal with the habits and the thought patterns. Now, will the enemy leverage that? Yes. And I want y'all to know, too, that your deliverance from all of these things are already available. Okay, I'm gonna give y'all a couple scriptures. Colossians 1:1-13 says, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness. He has delivered us, past tense, from the domain of darkness. Galatians 5:1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free, has, past tense. John 8:36, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. All of these things are past tense. So deliverance is already available to us. We're not waiting on God to rescue us. Jesus already did that. God already sent him to do that. What it is that we have to walk in what Jesus has already won for us. And the reason that this is important is because a lot of times we overhype deliverance. We overhype things that don't need, or we sensationalize rather, things that don't need a bunch of sensationalism. Deliverance is very real, but it's not always dramatic. It's not always you falling on the floor. It's not always public, and it's not always instantaneous. But what deliverance is always available. You don't have to scream. You don't have to shake. You don't need a platform or a prophet or a prayer line. Like, there are some things that the Lord has broken off of me in my prayer closet. Just me and him. You have to be able to discern, though, what is tormenting you. You have to expose what is empowering it. And then you have to exercise the authority that Jesus already gave to you. And all of that requires submission. James 4:7 tells us, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil and he will flee. So submission puts you back in position, and then resistance of the enemy is what gives you the authority. It enforces that authority. So yeah, we tread upon the heads of serpents. Yes. And the way that you do it is through you submitting to God. And then you putting up resistance to the enemy. Submission aligns you. Resistance enforces your authority. And some of you have been submitting without resisting. And you've been obedient, but you haven't been assertive. And you've been praying, but you're not pushing back against the enemy. And so I want you to know that you need to stand in your authority, your God-given authority. That requires you first to submit and be vulnerable to him. You don't have to survive brokenness. That's not the life that Jesus died for you to have. The Bible is very clear that he came for us to have life and have life more abundantly. But the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so the reason that this is so important for you to be able to discern is because when you know what you're dealing with, you can be strategic in your prayer. You can be strategic in your plan. You can be strategic in your heart posture towards God. You are able to then mobilize and actually be effective in what God is calling you to do. Do you need a professional? If I'm dealing with trauma and habits, yeah, I may need to be in therapy and I'm still going to be praying. However, I know I need to be in therapy. And also, there are some things that you're bringing to your therapist that need to go to the Lord first because it's spiritual. So I want to give y'all my steps to really help you discern what is what. Okay. I want you to be able to really pull apart what is going on. So the first thing that you need to do to be able to discern, is this trauma? Is this habit or behavioral? Or is this spiritual? The first thing that you have to do is track the origin. You have to track the origin of where these things come from. So is this linked to a moment, a memory, or a relationship? If the answer is yes, then it's trauma. Is this a default reaction that I've practiced over time? If the answer is yes, that's more habit, behavioral. Is this something that's irrational? illogical or shows up anytime I'm trying to grow spiritually, emotionally, I'm trying to be obedient? If the answer is yes, then that is spiritual. So once you understand the origin, then you have to listen to the narrative. Trauma is typically going to tell you, I'm not safe. You're not safe. This isn't safe. A lot of us don't recognize the way that we deal with the Lord is a part of a trauma response, because the Lord tells you to go do something and your procrastination and disobedience is not because you're not productive enough. Your procrastination and disobedience is because it doesn't feel safe. That's trauma. And so you're trying to use the Pomodoro method and all of these other tools to help with behavioral issues when, friend, you don't feel safe. That is a traumatic response. So now we have to go deal with your trauma and we have to tell the Lord, like, hey, I'm having a hard time trusting because I have this wound over here. That's why I'm procrastinating, because it doesn't feel safe. And then allow, between your therapist and the Lord, for that healing to take place so you can change the habit. Things that are typically behavioral or habitual things, it really shouts like, okay, this is just what I do. This is how I am. Child, I'm always waiting to the last minute. That's not okay. Okay, friend, stop it. And then the enemy, that narrative is typically, you'll never change. There's a lot of extremes when the enemy speaks. There's a lot of extremes. I talked about this in a video that I did about how to discern what voice is speaking. Is it God? Is it you? Is it the enemy? The enemy's always going to lead you to self-destruct. When it's you, okay, when it's trauma, you're going to try to self-preserve. But when it's the Lord, you are going to have to submit. So self-preservation, that's trauma habitual. The enemy, self-destruction. The Lord, he's going to require submission, vulnerability. So you want to listen to those narratives to be able to identify, what is this that I'm really dealing with? And then you need to look at the type of resistance, okay? There's always going to be resistance. And I want you to know that all resistance isn't bad. All resistance isn't bad, but we have to cite the source. Trauma, typically, that resistance, fear, shame. Things that are behavioral or habits, discomfort, laziness. Those are the triggers. Like, I don't feel like it, or I'm uncomfortable, so I'm gonna go back to doing things the way that I was doing them before. When it's spiritual warfare, there's a sense of dread. This is different from you not want. I mean, it's heavy. It's heavy. So when I was telling y'all that I was facing some spiritual warfare at the beginning of the year, and I knew I couldn't take a semester off of school, it seemed like a small thing. But the way that I knew that it was warfare was the level of dread that I felt preparing for the semester. I was literally in tears writing my assignments in my planner. I have never in all of my years of being in school experienced anything like that. So you know what I did? I prayed and I continued to do what God was calling me to do, continue to write in my planner. I have scripture that I'm looking at literally right now, taped to my computer screen, so I can remind myself of the word. I'm making every thought submit to what the Lord has called me to do in this season. But the level of dread, the way, the heaviness of it, made me absolutely aware. Absolutely aware. Oh no, this is spiritual warfare. There's a lot of personal things that I have going on, and the dread, and the warfare, the oppression, the isolation, the internal backlash lets me know that what I'm dealing with isn't about my habits. It's not about trauma. I can't plan my way through this season, through this semester. This wasn't about me managing my time well or not. This is warfare. The enemy does not want me stepping into a space where I'm armed with both the evidence of God's word and evidence-based practice as it pertains to mental and emotional health. And on Friday, the Lord revealed to me something that I'm so excited. It's going to change the game. Like, I am not even hyping myself up. He just brought revelation to everything. And when he releases me to share it, I will. But it has been me pushing through and prevailing through the warfare and knowing that it's warfare so I could take the right steps. So surrounding myself with people, doing co-working hours and having worship music on, I'm doing what I need to do because this isn't about habits and this isn't about trauma. This has been about warfare. And so when you are able to discern the resistance, the type of resistance, because all resistance is not bad. Sometimes resistance is so that you can learn how to endure. The same way when you go to the gym, if you don't put more weights on the bar, you're not going to get gains. So all resistance isn't bad, but you need to know what the resistance is so you can respond appropriately. Imagine me trying to plan my way through spiritual warfare. I would be looking silly. And that leads me to the last part of this, which is to apply the right strategy. So if it's trauma, you need healing, okay? Therapy, wise counsel, truth in love, heavy on the in love. If it's something that is habitual, if it's behavioral things, you need structure, you need boundaries, you need accountability, you need repetition. And then if it's warfare, you need authority. So you need to be declaring, rebuking, resisting, worshiping, fasting, praying. You need to be able to respond appropriately. And I'm going to give you the steps again. Track the origin. Listen to the narrative. Test the type of resistance, what is really happening, and then apply the right strategy. This is how you're able to break that cycle to where you feel stuck. You are not striving for deliverance. You don't have to tarry to be delivered from either one of these pillars. All you're doing is taking hold of what Jesus already died to give you. So you're not broken beyond repair. You're not spiritually defective. You're not underinformed. You're not unequipped. But what you are now is that you're no longer unaware. And that was really what I wanted to give you today. You're no longer powerless. Be able to say, okay, is this from trauma? Is this a behavioral or habitual thing that I'm doing? Or is this the enemy? And remember that he's going to exploit all three. So it could be layered. But understand, even if you're dealing with a situation, what part is attributed to the healing that I need to do? What part is a habitual thing that I need to deal with? And then what part of this is spiritual warfare? We have to deal with all three. So when you take a step back, I want you to really take an inventory. So here's your assignment for this week. I want you to write down whatever is happening. Okay? I want you to write down whatever's happening, and then I want you to trace the source. Trace the source. We're going to break the agreement. That means we're going to stop operating in the way that the enemy has become accustomed to, in the way that he has been able to exploit. And then you're going to be able to walk in the authority of Christ. A lot of times we feel like we are going cuckoo bananas. We're not. Okay, sis, you are not crazy. And you're also not weak. You're just in the middle of war. But we have to understand that we're fighting from a position of victory. We are not fighting for victory. The victory belongs to Jesus. Okay, Todd Delaney has said it, and the Bible said it first. The victory belongs to Christ. And because we're in him, that's a part of our inheritance package. The victory is already yours. You are not far from freedom. Freedom has already been purchased, bought with a price. But you need to go pick up the keys, friend. Go get the keys to your new residence. And this is how you do it. So I'm going to put a pin in this here. I'm going to create a resource for y'all and go ahead and put that in the Purpose Collective. So make sure if you want to walk through this, if you need that tool or that resource, that you go ahead and join us in the Purpose Collective. I love you, friend. If you end up having questions about this episode, the Purpose Collective, I can respond via voice note. Let me know if this episode blessed you, if it gave you clarity. I love to hear from y'all. Make sure that you leave us a 5-star review and you actually write a review. I would love to just see how the shows have been blessing you, especially as we've continued to operate in this new lane that God has called us to. And I love you, friend. God bless you. I'll talk to you next week. Hey, sis, you are not crazy, lazy, or ungrateful. You are just overloaded. You know something is off, but trying to figure out what it is feels like something else that you just don't have the capacity for. And that's why I created the Spiritual Wellness Check-In. This is not a quiz with cute personality anecdotes, but this is a clinically informed screening tool that helps you identify what kind of support you need right now without any of the guesswork. In under 3 minutes, you'll know whether you need to refocus, reconnect, or recover, and you'll get access to the tool to help you get started. Head on over to rxforpurpose.com/check-in. That's rxforpurpose.com/check-in, or click the link in the show notes to get started today. You don't need more suggestions. What you need is strategic support, and the Spiritual Wellness Check-In will help you with just that.